time that we are gathered together in his name, there he is awesome in power and in strength. So let us continually offer our sacrifice to him, for it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. For you inhabit the praises of your people, and may our prayers be sweet incense unto you. And let the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Yes, we do. For every time that we are gathered together in his name, there he is awesome in power and in strength. So let us continually offer our sacrifice to him, for it is good to give thanks unto the Lord. For you inhabit the praises of your people, and let our prayers be sweet incense unto you. And let the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Yes, we do. For you inhabit the praises of your people, and let our prayers be sweet incense unto you. And let the lifting of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Yes, we love you. Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here this morning? Father, thank you for the blessedness of today and your mighty Holy Spirit that is at work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of us here are pastors? Beautiful. Well, today you have a special gift from the Lord in this conference. Amen. Now, to be a pastor is the greatest job on earth. I am a medical doctor, and then I become a pastor as well, and an evangelist. So, when I compare the two, I'm quite sure that to be a pastor is far greater than to be a medical doctor. Amen. And there's no comparison. I would never have come here if I was just a doctor. What am I going to do here? No. It's because of the fact that I'm doing the work of an evangelist. That is why I am here in Choma today. And that is a great honor. Amen. So, what I discovered when I became a pastor is that most pastors don't know the pillars on which the church work is standing, or their ministry is standing. The pillars. What do I mean by the pillars? The pillars Caterpillar is the hard, strong stand, vertical stand on which the building depends. For instance, this building has there's a pillar here. Exactly where the metal is, there's a pillar. So there's pillars 1, 2, 3. If you move this pillar and you just put blocks, this building will come down. It will come down. So it means it's holding up the whole building. Right? In the same way, your ministry has some pillars that hold up the whole ministry. And many pastors don't even know what holds up the whole ministry. And one of the reasons is because few pastors read or write about ministry. You know, many people write about how to get abundance and prosperity without limits. You get it? So few people are actually writing about the pillars on which your ministry stands. You know, one of the things that you must be careful of is to be careful of aiming at money in the ministry. Even though we need money, it's a bad aim or a bad vision for a pastor, because that's not an aim in the Bible. It's not a vision in the Bible. It's rather a vision that we are warned about, that they that have a vision to be rich fall into temptation and into many hurtful snares, you know, which drown men in destruction and perdition. This is what the Bible says. So it's not a good aim to have an aim to have money or to be rich. You see, God has promised us that as we seek his kingdom, all these things will be added. But if it becomes your aim, then you change. If my aim was to get money, do you think I would come to Choma? Let me be serious. Would I not go to Lusaka? Would I not go to Lusaka or go somewhere? Why would I come to Choma if I'm looking for money? You see, so when your aim is money, your ministry changes and everything twists. So that is why I'm sharing with you that money, we need it, but it's not a good vision for a pastor. So I want you to focus on the pillars of your ministry. So our session here is not going to be very long, but it's going to point you to the pillars. Just as I pointed to the pillars here, that there's one here, there's one here, there's one here, there's one here. Those are the pillars. Why am I pointing you to the pillars? So that you would emphasize on getting pillars. Because when you have the pillar and you don't even have the blocks, the building will still stand. These blocks in the middle, you can break them, but the building will stand. The roof will be there. Everything will be there. So that's the main thing. Now, the first pillar is the pillar of the vision for church growth and church building, which Doctor was sharing about a few minutes ago. Church growth, the mega church, and church planting. Now, how many have heard of Yonggi Cho, the pastor of the largest church? Yes. Do you know that I am a member of the board of Yonggi Cho for almost 20 years now? And I'm often with him in Korea. And he has even been to my church in Ghana. Now, for many years, I heard Yonggi Cho saying, but I didn't understand it, that the first step to building a big church is to have a vision to have a big church. And I used to think that, but how can that be even a teaching? Do you see? How can that even be a teaching? Like, to have a big church, you must have a vision. But I realized that most pastors are not interested in having a big church. When I travel around, you know, most pastors are not interested in having a big church. That is actually the surprise that we have. If you see this book here, mega church. You know, you'll find that most pastors wouldn't even read it. Or church growth. Pastors don't even read that. How can you make the church grow in Choma? You know, or church planting. You know, a lot of pastors are not interested in such things. They don't even have it as their dream or their vision, which this is a surprise to me. But if I take South Africa, I've been in South Africa. I was in Polokwane. I was in Toyando. I was in Sebokeng. I was in Mafikeng. I was in Klerksdorp. I was in Paarl. I was in Cape Town, Mitchell's Plain. I was in Welkom. I was in Witbank. Help me. Which towns were? Zanin, King Williamstown, Queenstown, Port Elizabeth, East London, Mokopane, Port Elizabeth. Where? Bloemfontein. Which one did you mention? Sassenberg. What's that? Secunda. The Secunda. Then I was in Swaziland. We were in Manzini. I was in Lesotho, Maseru, Mafeking, Maputwe. I was in Zimbabwe. We were in Beitbridge. We were in Bulawayo, Victoria Falls, Harare, Gweru, Gwanda, Bindura, Mashvingo, Sushavani, Mutare, Chitungwiza, so many Marondera, so many towns, and so many pastors' conferences just like this. I was in Mozambique, I was in Mashishi, I was in Shashai, I was in Chokwe, I was in Maputo, I was in where? Matola, I was in Nyambani. Many, many towns with so many pastors. The number one thing I can say is that pastors, almost all the pastors are not interested in having a mega church. All these places I've been, these are just, recent ones. So, because you see, if you have a burning vision for a mega church, it will show in what you do. You will read every day, even if you don't have any books. The only book you will get from, if let's say you can't afford any, you will make sure that you get that book on church growth and mega church and church planting. You will try to very much so pay for, if you can't pay for anything, you say, this one alone, I need it because I just want to have a mega church. You will attend conferences where there's a mega church conference. You will try, you will pray, you will try to get close to people. You know, I've always tried to get close to people who have big churches. Even up till today, I'm trying always to be friends with people with big churches. If you have a big church, I like you. Yeah, because I want my church to be big. But pastors don't seem to want it. You know? So, I'm telling you that, you know, Bible says without the vision, my people perish. Because there's no vision. So, because we don't have that dream, you know, you see that the church doesn't grow. I don't need to even aim for a mega church if it is money I want. If it's money. Because by the grace of God, if we needed money or if we were in poverty, will we come here? Huh? Do you think we would come here? You didn't pay for us to come here. You didn't give us any money. Nobody has a contract to give us money. Is it not true? Yeah. You are not paying for anything. It's free. We've come to preach at our own cost. We paid our own ticket. Our own cars have come here. Nobody, we are not asking you for anything. If we were poor, we have enough money to come all the way from Ghana. We have come here. You see? So if it's money that is the aim, we wouldn't be standing here today. Because we have it already. But if it's souls, then we will come here. Because there are souls here. There are souls here that are not in Lusaka, that are not in Maputo, that are not in Harare. They are here in Choma. So souls there. We want souls. And we want people to know Jesus. That is why we are here. So, pastors, money is not a good vision for you. Souls is a good vision. Churches is a good vision. Hallelujah. And when you have that aim, your whole ministry and your whole life changes. All right? Now, there's a book called Tell Them. Tell Them. Do you know where that book is? Right here. 120 reasons why you should win souls. Winning souls is the number one aim of a pastor, because it's the number one reason why Jesus Christ came to the world. Amen. So you must have that as your aim, to win souls. And when you have an aim to win souls, your ministry changes. Your ministry improves. Your ministry grows. Because you have your aim is pure. Pure aims. Pure aims. Hallelujah. Let them sit in front there. That's fine. Hallelujah. So you must have an aim, a pure aim, to win souls for Jesus Christ. Many pastors don't care about souls. And if you go to hell, it's fine. You see, the rich man, when he went to hell, he became more evangelistic than pastors. Ah, I wish some of the rich men in my church would go to hell and come. They will give me a lot of money to do evangelism. Is it not true? Yes. If you go to hell, you see that you change. And you don't think about all these things that we are thinking about. So, you must have that aim. And when you have that aim to build churches, to win souls, then your heart is purified. I tell you, if I didn't want to build churches and to win souls, I would not come here. And you see, most pastors, there are many pastors, I can tell you, they have enough resources, money, and everything to go around the whole of Zambia to every village, but they will not do it. They will not do it because that's not the aim. The aim has changed. You see, I'm a doctor. If I'm looking for money and I'm doing my hospital, all right, the way I will do the medicine is different from if I'm not looking for money. If I'm looking for money, when you come, you are going to have a baby. When you come, I will examine you and say, oh no, you need operation. You need operation. The baby, if we try normal, the baby will die. You too, you may die. So we have to operate. A baby which would have come out normally, we will do operation. You stay in the hospital for 7 days. Every day you pay the rent is 50 kwacha or 100 kwacha, or I don't know how much it is. The drips you take, the medicine, Panadol, painkillers, and all that for 7 days. The operation, instead of how much is $100? Instead of 1,000 kwacha, instead of normal delivery, which may be $20 or $30, which is how much? 300 kwacha, you pay 3,000 kwacha. You see? So, because I'll get more from you if I do operation. Is it not true? So, the way I will do the... I don't just want you to be well. I want money. And the same thing for pastors. When you now want money, but not souls, not churches, not people. You change. The books you read change. What you are interested in, you will not even, when you see a book like Mega Church, you look and say, what is Mega Church? Find me some meat and let me find some meat to eat, some food and waste my time. What is a mega church? What is church growth? Yeah. And that is the problem of the church. So we are failing in the world and other religions are taking over. Look, I was in Senegal, 99% not Christian, 99. Mali, 99. Guinea, 99. Sierra Leone, 90. Liberia is even becoming non-Christian, is growing in it. Gambia, 99% non-Christian. All the countries are not Christian. And pastors and churches with money are sitting in capital cities. Do you see? Doing things, you don't know what sometimes we are even doing. Hey! And you see that our aims are not people. Yeah. One day I saw a pastor, he invited his friend from America. His friend in America has a small church, about 30 members. 30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. And this guy, he said he's inviting him because he said if he was to do his church in Ghana, he would have had 3,000 members. And he himself knows it. But because of America, he has gone to America to fish. You see, if you are a fisherman, will you go and fish where there are no fishes? Hey, but we are fishing where the fish are finished. Yes. If you are looking for copper, will you come here to mine for the copper? No. But that's what we are doing. We are searching for copper where there's no copper. Fishing where there's no fish. Amazing. Because our aim is not really the copper. And our aim is not really the fish. If the aim was the fish or the aim was the copper, we would have gone somewhere else. True or not true? I said true or not true? True. So today, number one is that your vision must be big and must be correct. And your vision must be souls, churches, church planting. By God's grace, I started a church in 1988 in a classroom. Our church was in a classroom. And the classroom had just a few people, about 20 people. But it has grown. And now we have about 2,000 churches. Yes, 2,000 churches, including in Zambia. Yes. Churches everywhere. Big ones, small ones, different sizes. And I want more. I've been praying for 12,000 churches. I don't see why I should have 2,000 churches. It's a very small number to me. It's a very small number to me. 2,000 is very small. I pray for 12,000 churches. And I'll see it. By God's grace. I'm determined to build. We have almost 1,000 church buildings. Yes. But we are trying to. I want to build thousands of church buildings. Yes. Everywhere. you see my vision? My vision is big for church and for church work and for souls. But I'm not trying to get money. If I was looking for money, I would go straight to Boston. Straight to New York. Straight to Germany. I've got a church in, we have churches in Germany, Hamburg, this. When I take offering, I'll get euros. Euros. I'll not get kwacha. Kwacha, you cannot go far with kwacha. The second pillar, I'm just showing you the pillars. And by the time I finish taking the pillars off, is you see, the anointing or the Holy Spirit. Now, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do much. So I have these three books here. And all the books are in this. When you get this after, you will not need anything else. Amen. Oops, sorry. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible for you to do anything for God. In my book, Seven Steps to the Anointing, I have seven reasons why you must be anointed. Number one, you must be anointed because no one can fulfill his ministry with a natural effort. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So you must pray for the Holy Spirit. I am not standing here by the might of Mr. Doug Heward Mills. Mr. Doug Heward Mills is absolutely uselessly nothing. I have nothing to give you. Only Jesus has something for you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the power behind everything. So you need an anointing. Amen. Number two, you must be anointed because even Jesus Christ waited to be anointed before beginning his ministry. Even Jesus Christ waited to be anointed. And so you remember, Jesus went into the River Jordan and was baptized before he started his ministry. And the Holy Ghost came on him. So if the Holy Spirit does not come on you, you cannot do anything. Even Jesus waited 30 good years. 30 good years before doing his ministry. So if Jesus Christ waited, then what about you? You also need to wait for the Holy Spirit. Number three, the apostles also waited for the Holy Spirit. Did they wait or they didn't wait? They waited. He told them, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Acts chapter 1. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you will have. And so they waited for the promise. And when they waited for the promise, they received the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came on Peter, what happened? Peter began preaching and he became a pastor as soon as the Holy Spirit came on him. So you cannot be effective until a certain dimension of the Holy Spirit comes on you. You cannot. You will just be a school teacher. You'll be a dry lecturer. Yes, a religious teacher, but you will not be able to do much. Number four, great prophets like Elisha, all right, waited for the anointing before they also started their ministry. And they knew that it was anointing they needed. Elisha. So I'm giving you the people. I say, the Bible says, number one, it's not by might. Number two, Jesus Christ himself waited to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Number three, the apostles, they themselves waited for the Holy Spirit. Before they started preaching, they couldn't preach. They were afraid. Oh. Because you will be natural unless the Holy Spirit is on you. And natural is to fear. They've just killed your leader. You'll be hiding. All right? Then Elisha also waited for the anointing before he started his ministry. So when Elijah was going away, Elijah said, look, I am going. I'm going to die. Let me tell you clearly. I'm going to heaven. What do you want? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. But today's pastors, some would have said, well, I cannot have your car. I want your car. I want your house. I want your money. Some would have said, I want even your wife. Hey. So, but Elisha said, no, I want the spirit that is on you. That's what it is. As you see me standing here, there is an invisible blanket. It's a cloak. It's a cloak that I'm wearing. But you can't see it. And that is the cloak that I am operating. You see, I had a vision once. I was in my office and an angel came to my office holding a coat and a jar. And the jar contained ashes. And the ashes, he said, the angel said to me, this is your father inside. Not my biological father, my spiritual father, my father in the ministry. This is his ashes. But this was his coat. And he told me I should wear the coat. So I put on the coat. And he said, now you can do what your father used to do when he was around. And he said, one day, the coat will be taken from you and you will turn into ashes and also be in a jar. Just like this. And somebody else will wear the same coat and be moving around and doing things. So if you don't have your coat or your mantle, you cannot do much for God, in the ministry. You need your mantle. You need. So when Elisha was asked, what do you want? He said, I want the spirit. No question at all. Today, pastors don't want anointing. If you want anointing, you will see how you behave. You will honor the prophet. People don't honor prophets. You will sow seed into the person's ministry. You would listen to the person, what he says. You will follow. Elisha followed Elijah for 20 years. Peter, James, and John followed Jesus for 3 years. Joshua followed Moses all his life. It was when they died and when their mission was over that they even started. They just followed and they were servants. Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. You don't get anointing by just osmosis or diffusion. Or drinking oil. Hallelujah. God is going to anoint you in Jesus' name. God is going to use you powerfully to do his great work. Amen. So the anointing of the Spirit is very, very important. And then you must be anointed, number 5, because Saul, King Saul, you know, who was an unexpected candidate, was transformed when the Holy Spirit came on him. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, that he was changed into another man. So you will be changed into another man when the anointing comes on you. I said, you'll be changed into another man. I said, another man, another man, another man. You become different. People will not recognize you. You know? You know, my friends, some of my friends who knew me in school, they don't even recognize me. Now, when they see me, they feel I won't even talk to them. I said, why would I not talk to you? You are my friend from school. But you see, because of the ministry that God is using me, it looks too great for them. They can't even relate with me. You know, they feel that it's so big. They can't recognize me because I've turned into another man. Yeah, I've turned into another man. I'm not the man they knew. Bible says Saul was turned into another man. Another man. Another man. Another man. Another man. You see, right now I've become like Bonke, having crusades all over Africa. Yeah, it's like I'm totally different from Dagiwad Mills, a medical student in Ghana. I've turned into another man. instead of having a little small church somewhere, I've turned it completely transformed like a different person. Yeah. Yeah. I have the power to come to your city. Yeah. Is it when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," not to the rich. Rich preaching is easy. Preaching to poor is more difficult. Yeah. Because when you preach to the poor have nothing to give you. They cannot even pay the cost of you coming to them to preach to them. That's why people don't come to Choma to have programs. Am I lying? Yeah. It takes power. One day I went to a pastor's office. He has taken pictures with president. You see, it is easier to take pictures with president than to preach to the poor. Standing with the rich and the powerful of this earth is different from preaching the gospel to the poor people who really need the gospel. Hallelujah. And that is the Holy Spirit that God is giving to you. He's anointing you to preach the gospel to the poor. And so that power is going to come over you. You'll be here in Choma and you will prosper. You'll be here in Choma and you'll do great works for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number six, you must follow the anointing because David, the anointed psalmist, he said, "All that I have comes from the anointing." Psalm 51, verse 11. He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. All right. So cast me not away from thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. You know, David himself knew that the whole thing was the Holy Spirit. So whenever David was speaking about himself, he used to call himself the Lord's anointed. He says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed?" In Psalm 89, he called himself the anointed. God has chosen somebody from among the people and anointed him. You know, because he was the main thing. He was nobody. Even in his family, he was nobody. His family didn't like him. Do you know that David's family, they didn't like him? I mean, if they like you and a prophet has come to anoint somebody and they say, "Bring all your children," you bring all the children, but you don't call David. It is the prophet who saw and said, "No, none of these is the Lord's choice. Is there no other child? Do you have a stepchild or an orphan? Do you have a cousin? Do you have any other person?" Before they say, "Oh, yeah, one of my children is here," but I mean, he was not of the type we would have called. And he said, "Oh, you bring him. Let me see him." Because a lot of prophets operate by when they see you, they have a word. If they don't see you, they don't have a word. He needed to see him first. So when he saw him, he said, "Oh, this is him. This is the one." You know? So, I mean, every time David remembered that, David always remembered that he was not chosen. And that's why he always said, "It was the Lord who anointed me. He chose me and anointed me." Hallelujah. And so that's why when he fell into difficulty, he said, "Don't take away your presence. Cast me not away from thy presence. Don't take away your Holy Spirit. If you take away the Holy Spirit, what am I left with? I have nothing and I'm nothing." Hallelujah. Amen. And the last, a very important point is Moses also didn't want to operate without the anointing. He said, if your presence does not go with me, presence is not really the anointing, but it's still something about the anointing. If your presence does not go with me, wow, I'm not going. All right? So this is a pillar, the anointing. All right? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to tell you a testimony of something that happened to me in 1988. Now, I was in a medical school from 1982 to 1989. I finished medical school on the 10th of March, 1989. About 20 minutes to 5 o'clock in the evening, I finished. That's when I became a doctor. But in 1988, in June, during my final year, you know, to be a doctor, you have to go to certain towns to work there, rural town, because I was in the city. But I had to go and work in a rural town because when you are practicing medicine in the rural area, it's different. There are certain things we don't have, and there are certain problems we have in the rural areas we don't have in the city. So before you finish medical school, you have to go and work in the rural area for 1 month. So I was sent to a certain town called Suhum. So when I went there, I was there for 1 month. And whilst I was there, I was, you know, there was a lot of free time. But when we go and do this and do this, we come home, then I'll be in the room. So I was praying. I was listening to preaching. And I was just enjoying some time, learning, studying, because my final exam was coming. Now, one night, I was in the room, and I drank my coffee. I used to drink coffee and eat bread. That's all. That was all my food, coffee, black coffee and bread. So one night, I was in the room praying, and then I was listening to the preaching of Kenneth Hagin. So the tape recorder was in the corner. Now, this tape recorder, it goes up and down, auto-reverse. When it finishes, it comes back. When it finishes, it comes back. So it never ends. When I press it, play, 7 o'clock in the evening, it will play till tomorrow, 7 o'clock, it will continue. So in the middle of the night, I was kneeling down by my bed. 7 o'clock, I started praying, but I fell asleep. You have also fallen asleep before. So I fell asleep. And as I was on the bed, by the bed, I woke up at about 3 o'clock. The tape was over there. It was playing. And Kenneth Hagin was preaching. And I was just praying on the bed. Suddenly, something jumped out of the tape and entered my belly. I felt something going into me. And then I heard a voice. And the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today, you can teach. This was in 1988, June. Yeah, almost 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Yeah, from today, you can teach. Look, at that time, I was in my final year medical school, and I started a church, which was a very small church, you know, maybe about 20 or 30 people. And when I went back to the city, I went to church on Sunday, and I started preaching from Luke chapter 15. There was a lady there who she noticed a difference. And she wrote a letter to a friend. She said, there is something different about Brother Doug. She is the first person to notice the anointing on my life. I was a student. I was 25 years old. Yeah. There's something different. And that something is the anointing. You see, that's what made me write this book. Catch the Anointing. The story of that experience is here. You see, because the Bible says in Acts 10:44 that Peter went to Cornelius' house and as he was preaching, during the preaching, the Spirit fell on everybody who was listening. During the preaching, so that night, that day, I was listening to preaching. That's why I listen to preaching. I like to listen to preaching all the time. I was listening to the preaching.
And whilst I was listening to the preaching, the Spirit fell on me. Just like Acts 10:44. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. When you read it, the Bible says, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. The Spirit came into me when he spoke to me. So when God speaks to you, the Spirit comes into you. That's why a pastor who doesn't listen to preaching, honestly, you are not likely to amount to much. And that's why we will be introducing you to what I call the Makane online, which is a special camp which the Lord impressed on me to put together. And it's all available on daghewardmillsvideos.org. You just go on the internet and it's there. It's free. Everything free. Download it free. Watch free. Download free. Watch free. Yes. And podcasts. All the things, because of the internet, everything is free. We used to carry it and sell it. But now because of the internet, it's easier. So you can download it. All right? You can download it. Thank you. It's fine, it's fine. You can download it and you can have it. Podcast. How many know what is podcast? How many don't know what podcast is? You check it on your phone. If you have a phone, you find podcasts on the shop. There's a shop in every phone. Google Play Store or App Store. It's a shop where you can buy it, but it's free. You download it called podcast. When you do podcast, when you have it, podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T. When you have it, you just search for my name, for instance, or anybody who you want, you search for my name. Then that podcast will come. You also press it. Everything you press free, it comes free. From then, today's preaching, for instance, it will come to your phone free of charge. And you just play. And it comes automatically. So you listen to preaching. If I show you my phone now, I just have to press. I'll be playing the preaching. So we don't buy tapes anymore. So those who have been buying tapes, I don't know which year you are in. We are no more buying tapes. It's free. All these things are now free. The word is increasing and it's free. Hallelujah. So, preaching, he says, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me. The Spirit entered. The Spirit entered. The Spirit entered. So, when the Spirit enters you, you change. So that's what changed me. I was becoming a doctor. In fact, I was about 7 months to go to qualify. Was just 7 months more. Oh, by now I'd have been a professor. Oh, yeah, because I was very good in school. I was one of the best. I was one of the best. Yeah. The records are there. It's not I'm not trying to boast because none of my classmates are here. You know? No. The records are there. Yeah. But when the Spirit entered into me, I became another man. Look at me now. You won't even think I'm a doctor. You won't think that I've even been to school. Just preaching. Every day preaching. Morning, evening. We are in Zambia for 21 days. Every night I'm in somewhere preaching without break. Every night I'm in a different town preaching. And pastors, I'm here preaching to you and sharing with you. I want to share with you and help you to have these books. Because the greatest gift that I can give to you is the books. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the great pillars. Anybody who is God is using, he has some type of anointing on him. But only that you may not see. Yeah. You may not see. You know, one day I went to South Africa and I preached in a tent. And after, a white lady, she was about 70 or 80 years old, she called me and said, come, you young man. I came down, I was walking. Hey, come. So when I came, she said, sit down. I sat down. She said, do you know that when you were preaching, Jesus was walking behind like this. He was walking here and here. She told me, I see visions in three dimensions. I see visions in three dimensions. And she said that, Jesus was walking behind you as you were speaking. And she told me apart from what she said, she said, it is very rare. Yeah. So I believe that Jesus is with me. There is a certain anointing and power. You see, sometimes it is even unbelievers who are able to see anointing. You know, Christians, even pastors, we don't see anointing. If somebody is coming to extort money from you, that one you will see it. But when there is anointing, we don't see. We don't see. It was Nicodemus who told Jesus, no one can do this except God is with him. Yeah. No one can do this except God is with him. It was Laban, the wicked uncle of Jacob, who said, I have seen that God has blessed me because of you, because you are in the house. I can see that God's power is here. It was the people who didn't believe in Jesus who said, what mighty works are these? And what wisdom is this? They recognized the ministry. So it's important for you to recognize the ministry and the anointing. Yeah, because it's a power of the Holy Spirit that is at work. Hallelujah. So that's the second pillar of the ministry. The third pillar of the ministry is the pillar of leadership. All right? Now, in Africa, we have a lot of problems with leadership. Is it true or is it not true? Now, if you travel, you know, around the world, in Africa, After some time, you'll get to a point where you don't even ask the town you are in or the country. When you open your eyes like this, you say, I'm in Africa. Because everywhere is the same. It's true. You wouldn't know it. You'll find that everywhere is the same. Now, the reason is because most Africans lead in the same way. We have a way of leading. You see? Mm-hmm. And that way causes poverty. Generalized poverty. Not only in Zambia, almost every African country. All right? Now, whether you have independence, no independence, whether this party is there, another party is there, this is almost the same. That's why even at the point, people don't even bother to vote. Because whether it's you, the way we go about leadership is the same thing. Now, in my book here, which again, it's one of the best books on leadership, The Art of Leadership, How You Lead. Do you see? How to lead. Very important. Now, if you take African leaders, we have some characteristics. One of them is in Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah. I think I'll share with you something from that. Isaiah chapter 3. Fantastic. Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err. Okay? So now, your leadership style, are you there? Must improve. Because forget about the politicians and talk about pastors. How do we lead our people? Many of us lead as though we are children. Don't worry about the cable. I'm fine. Oh, it's how did it get there? Okay. Now, what does the Bible say? A child will lead you. So the leadership of a child is very characteristic of African leadership. The leadership of a child. What is it like? How do children behave? One thing, if you have children, I have 4 children and a lot of other non-biological children, plenty. One of the characteristics of children is disorganization. Have you noticed that when you go to the children's room, the whole place is bizarre? Confusion. African countries, you notice bizarre confusion everywhere. And you see, a child is in charge. Then you notice that children don't understand serious issues. The implications of certain things we are doing, what it means and what's going to happen. So, you see that certain things that are done, the best example of bad leadership is African leaders. So I don't like talking about it. Because if I talk about it, it sounds as if I'm criticizing how we do things. I tell you, if I go into it. Now, I was talking to one politician and I told him that, look, why do you want to lead people who don't like you? Yeah. You know? So, sometimes you see, you go to places and they do certain things that lead to war. I was in a country in West Africa, and one of the people explained to me, said that when they had a president, and the president came up with a rule. You see, I'm saying that children don't understand complex things, and they don't understand the implications of what they are saying. It's true. This president said that every goat eats the grass at where he's tied. Where you tie a goat, he should eat the grass around where he has been tied. Do you understand it? Or you don't understand it? And that is the proverb that he gave to the whole nation. Which means that if you are the minister of finance, you should eat the grass around that place. If you are the minister of roads, you should eat all the grass at that place. If you are the director of mining and diamond, you should eat the grass around that place. And this country eventually had a terrible war. So many people died. Yeah. Because everybody has been told to eat the grass. I mean, how can you? Oh. It's serious. So, children, they don't understand. One time I went to somebody's house. The father had died. The mother had died. You know, the mother or the father had died. And the mother was crying and so on. But the children were playing basketball. Because children, they don't know they don't understand serious things. So if you have such people in charge of the economy, in charge of the nation, in charge of stability, peace. They don't understand what they are doing. Oh. Are you there or you are leaving? Yeah. Now, when it's a little complex, a child cannot do it. One day I went to England with my family. And then we went to a certain house. And we were going to sleep. Then I said, where are the keys to the door? So here we don't have keys to doors inside the house. I said, why? They said, oh, because of little children. Because if a child goes into the room and locks the door, they can't come out. Because just how to put the key in. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's difficult. So you see, many leaders, even African countries, even the currency, how to let a currency work. That's why all over Africa, our currency, the money, it started as $1 to one. I don't know what your currency is, $1 to one Zim dollar, $1 to one Zim, $1 to one. We have CDs, we have Naira, different safer countries. But Kwacha, I don't know how much yours is now, but in Ghana, we went up to 10,000. It was one to one, then one to two, one to three, one to four, one to five, one to nine, one to 10, one to 20, one to 60, one to 100, one to 1,000, one to 2,000, one to 3,000, one to 4,000, 5,000, 10,000. Hey! And your brothers here in Zimbabwe, 1 to billion, billions. They are the world record holders. So you see that children cannot understand complex issues. How do you do it? So pastors who are children, you see, they don't understand church growth because church growth is complex. Yeah, church growth involves many little complex things. It's not only one thing that makes a church grow. It's not only one thing that makes someone have a great crusade. There are many small, complicated things. So when you have the leadership of a child, you don't want to come to understand. It's too complicated. Even when they give you the book, you look at the book and say, ah, the words are too small. No pictures. There are no pictures. And the book is too big. There are no pictures in the book. Because you are a child who is a leader. And he says, Isaiah 3:12, I will give them children to be their leaders. And that is a punishment because everybody under you will be poor. Hey! Everybody under you will be poor. So your leadership must improve because a pastor is a leader of the church. And I tell you, all the politicians will be gone, but the church will be there. You watch and see. Every group, they will go, but the church will continue. Yes. Jesus said, I'll build my church. As for the church, it will be there. In 20 years, 30 years, a different party may be in power, but as for the church, it will be there. So, you must grade your leadership. And that is why this book, The Art of Leadership, I'm reading to you actually from chapter 2, The Leadership of a Child. Yeah, it's there. It's right there. I'm reading the book to you, The Leadership. The next point is, children like having fun, parties, celebrations. Is it not true? If you leave children, they will never go to school. They only play. And when you have a child who is a leader, every day they are having celebration anniversaries. We in Ghana, we have Ghana at 40, Ghana at 50 years, Ghana at 60 years. Celebrations of so many things, parades, celebrations, parties, People who are not good leaders, they are the ones having parties all the time. Having money, spending money, party, inviting big houses to celebrate whatever, drinking, whatever, playing. That is all fun. Fun. They don't know how to get down to the work itself. When it comes to the actual work, they are lost. One day, the World Bank went to a certain country whose name begins with I. In Africa. But I won't tell you the name of the country. You are all thinking which country begins with I. It's a mystery. And they were having meetings with the finance minister and all the ministers about something to do with the economy. And the finance minister fell asleep. It's a child. When you put children in the car, then they fall asleep. You put them in front of the television, the news, they fall asleep. You can't understand it. If it's playing, you get what I'm saying, then it won't be working. But sleeping every moment. So he fell asleep. Then, in the middle of the meeting, the people were saying that now the country is really down. Then he woke up and said, "We are not down." Then he fell asleep again. Hey! The actual working. No. No, they are not. They cannot do it. Children cannot sit for long. They don't have a short attention span. Yeah. The next thing is a child needs toys. When you have a leadership of a child, he needs a lot of toys to make him happy. Here is a car. Is it not true? So you notice that African leaders, when they come into power, new cars, phones, girlfriends, playing around, traveling here, everything, games, every day going somewhere. Hey! As a child, he's got to have some toys to play. And they can't stay in one place. Running here today. I'm traveling here. Sit down in Choma and do the work. No. They cannot do that. I have to go here, come here, go here, come here, go here. African president, today to China, tomorrow to Egypt, tomorrow to Tokyo, tomorrow to America, tomorrow to England. Sit down and go to the country. It's only during elections that they go around. Hey. So anyway, please, you must learn that the leadership of a child. Now, the next and last point is that children don't build. Have you seen a child building a house before? They spoil houses. And you notice that all over Africa, we don't build. And pastors don't build churches. This is one of the only buildings I've seen of a church. I saw Bread of Life somewhere there. This is one of the only buildings. Oh, I'm wrong. Yes. Okay, we don't build. We may have the church, but no building. Because children don't build. Children don't know how to build. Children will take a pen and start writing on the furniture like they put in a blade, cutting, spoiling. So it's like, what even has been built? They spoil it. Destroying everything. Pointing, poking, spoiling. But building, to put block upon block. When a child is your leader, you will never have a church building. When a child is a pastor, there may be a church, but for a building where you can have your wedding, where you can have your celebrations and no. They will be in a tent, they will be in a classroom, they will be somewhere, but to build. No. Leadership, Isaiah 3 verse 12, I will give you children. So when God said, I'm going to punish these people, I will give them children as their leaders. That was the punishment that he gave. I'll give them children as their leaders and their directors. May you never be a child in charge of a church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, so that is why this book, The Art of Leadership, and this one, He That Has. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He that has shall have more. And he that has not, even that which he has will be taken away. I didn't say it all. This is the greatest book on prosperity you can have. Because it shows you the master secret. Why is it that poor people are going to get poorer? You watch and see, between Lusaka and Choma, Lusaka will be richer than Choma in 10 years from now. Yes, even though Choma needs more money than Lusaka. But he that has will get more. And Choma may even be poorer than it is today relative to Lusaka. Look, a woman who has 3 children is more likely to give birth again this year than a woman who has been married for some years and is not having a child. Or I'm wrong. Is it not true? She who has been giving birth and is even trying to control it, she is the one who is more likely to have another child. She doesn't even want a child. She is the one who gets extra. The one who doesn't have, we are all praying for her. Lord, open the womb, open the womb, open the womb, open the womb, open the womb. She is the one who may not have a child in a year's time. He that has shall have more. If your family has a president, your family is likely to have another president. True or not true? Clinton, if President Clinton, if there's a Clinton president, it's likely that with time, there will be another Clinton than, what's your name, please? Raphael as president of America. No, it's not likely. Or Bush. President Bush. It's more likely that another Bush will be a president. But Mr. Thomas, it's not likely that Mr. Thomas is going to ever be a president. So he that has more and gets more. He that doesn't have is also, if you have a car now, you are likely to have a car next year. Maybe a new one. But he that does not have a car, it's also likely that even his bicycle will get spoiled by next year. So this book is a master revelation. This book is called He That Has, to Him Shall Be Given. He That Has Not, even what he has will be taken away. It's the explanation for that mystery. And it's the reason for a lot of the poverty and the difficulty that we are experiencing. Yeah, make sure you have this particular book and you go through it. Now, the way out, everybody say the way out. The way out is the art of following. The art of following. Follow what God puts in front of you to learn. God is going to give you somebody to learn from, somebody to copy from. As for me, I am a follower. Or if you see me here, I'm following somebody. Oh yes. I follow Kenneth Hagin. All my books, even the way I write the books is following Kenneth Hagin. Yes. And I have almost 20 million books. Not 2,000, almost 20 million of these books. Yes. Yes. So, I'm telling you, when Kenneth Hagin died, he had 63 million books. And I'm following him. So I'm hoping to cross him. Because he said, you shall do greater works than this. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Yes. Now, why is following important? Because this is the method Jesus has chosen to train us. It's the highest method of learning, is following somebody. Yes. You see, even in medicine, can you imagine how I will cut you open, remove your heart, put it on a table, take somebody's heart, put it in you, and connect all? Can you read a book and learn it? You have to watch it, see how they do it, and learn it. Because when you operate, it's not as simple as it looks. You see, when you cut, sometimes you think that when you cut, you see things like plastic. No, when you cut, suddenly blood comes and the whole place becomes covered with blood. You don't even see anything. I'm a doctor. I've done operations myself before. And so that you see, the blood will start. Sometimes the blood can come up and up in the air, bleeding, bursting. It's not a small thing. You can't read a book to know how to operate. How many of you, if somebody is going to operate on your heart and he says, have you done it before? So, no, I've read a book about it. I'm coming to operate on. Will you like it? I'm asking you, would you like this person to operate on you? Or somebody is flying an aeroplane and you ask, have you flown a plane before? So, no, I've read a book, so I'm going to try all the things. You say, take your plane, I would like to walk. So, that's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So, you are made into great men of God by following somebody. By following Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus, the Bible says, be ye followers. Hebrews 6:12. Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So you choose people who have achieved something. Don't follow people who are just talking and blowing hot air balloons. But follow achievers and those who have inherited the promises of God. Hebrews 6:12. Be ye followers of them who through faith and patience have inherited God's promises. They've actually done something and achieved or received from God great things. Those are the people we follow, not everybody else. Today we have a lot of pastors who have metamorphosized into motivational speakers. Many of them have achieved nothing and are teaching the philosophies of men laced with scriptures, ideas of men, and they throw in a verse. I don't see why I should sit down to listen to ideas of men when I have the wisdom of God and the Bible. And the other unfortunate thing about many of such types of preaching is that the people haven't achieved much themselves. They haven't achieved anything. Most of them are seriously in debt. Not only don't they don't have money, but they are in debt. Debt is negative money. And by the way, zero is bigger than minus 1,000. Zero is bigger than minus 1,000. If I am at zero, I am greater than somebody who is at minus 10,000 or minus. Yes. Don't forget your arithmetic. Zero is bigger than minus 1,000. Why are you following people who have achieved nothing for God? Why are you following people who have achieved nothing for God. Where is the person's church? One day I saw somebody who was doing motivational speaking. Then I met someone who told me, this man is totally bankrupt. I have had to even seize his house from him. He has nothing. And he's the one giving speeches and people are listening to him. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why I follow Yonggi Cho. Because when I go to Korea, I physically see churches that he has built with 700,000 members. I was there myself, practically. That's why I follow certain people, because it's not just hot air. Let's be serious. I said, let's be serious. Through the art of following, I'm following somebody like Bonke. Bonke is one of the people I'm following. That's why I'm here doing gospel crusade. African gospel crusade. I've been to so many countries. Senegal, Nigeria, here, all over. I'm here with my convoy, preaching the word in towns. I don't need anybody to see me. I don't need anything from you. I'm preaching gospel, pure gospel. I'm not coming to preach to you about money. I'm following proper people who have achieved things for God. Or hot air balloons. Start following the right thing and stop following nonsense. So, I have given you already some of the pillars. What pillars have I given you? Church growth, pillars. The anointing is a pillar. Number three, leadership is a pillar. And then, the next type pillar is the shepherding work. The art of shepherding. What it means to be a shepherd. What does it mean to be a shepherd? You see, what is a shepherd? In Nigerian language, we have one word for shepherd and the same word pastor. Pastor is Oluashu Guton, Olushon Aguton. And that means shepherd. And pastor is also Olushon Aguton. Pastor is the same as shepherd. How do you say shepherd in your language? Wembeze. And how do you say pastor? Can you say the same word, Wembeze, for pastor? You use a different word. Yes. So, but you, hello. You can see that a shepherd is, and this book is called The Art of Shepherding, How to Be a Shepherd. Now, many pastors, your church is not working because you don't know how to be a shepherd. Look, at first I used to think that to be a shepherd, you just have to buy some sheep, buy some cows, and put it there. They will become a lot. But I found out the hard way. I've tried it no less than 3 times. First, I bought goats. I gave it to my friend. I said, look after. They will become 4,000. After some time, I said, how many are they? The four. Said, they are now 2. I said, what happened? He said, oh, in the night, one of them started screaming, oh, 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 oh. When we went, it was dead. Another one, I bought pigs. I gave it to somebody. I said, look, these are 8 pigs. They will become 8,000. One day I saw him. I said, how are my pigs? He said, I have some pictures to show you. Then he took pictures. He showed me all the pigs were burnt. They were dead. There was a fire, and all of them got burnt. Hey, then I bought cows. I gave them to someone. I said, these are 8 cows. They will become 8,000. After 10 years, can you guess how many cows? 10. 10 years, 10 cows. 10 to 10. 8 cows became 10 cows. After 10 years, they should have been 8,000. Why? Because I was a useless shepherd. I don't even care about my sheep and my cows. I don't even care about them. Because my cows, the reason why they're after 10 years, they couldn't even grow. Because when even people steal them, I just tell them, let them go. It's okay. Somebody has stolen one. It's okay. Leave it. Every day I kill some. I say, oh, kill it. Kill them. You know, how can you look after a flock that way? They will never become a lot. So many of us, our sheep, we don't look after them. You see, I've come here. I've preached all over the world. I've preached in Singapore, Malaysia, Bolivia. I'm invited. Not that I'm going. They invite me. They give me money to go. I've stayed in all hotels. I've stayed in hotels, $5,000 a night. They pay, not me. I don't pay for that. They pay. $5,000 for one night to sleep. To drink one glass of orange juice, $50. Finish, $50. Can you imagine? So somebody will say that trauma is not important to me because I know all this. No, trauma is very important. Some say, I will not come. Say, why would I not? I will be here. I will be here. You see, you don't value what God has given you. That is why it doesn't become great in your hands. You don't value it. You only value rich people. If some of us, we only value rich people. If you see a man with a big car, say, hey, this is a powerful member. Then you'll be visiting him. I know a church, 3 or 4 different pastors will be visiting one rich man. And the man will be in the house saying, why are these pastors worrying me? Why? What do they want? You don't value children. You don't value young people. You don't value poor people. Because you are not a good shepherd. Your sheep will never be many. You only value businessmen. Yeah. I don't only value the big cities or America. I've been to Boston. I've been to California. I mean, one church I was preaching, Denzel Washington. Do you know Denzel Washington, the film star? All of them were sitting there. They were all in, that's the church they were in. Film stars, I mean, these film stars you see, they were all there. That church is only mostly film stars. Stevie Wonder and all, they were all there. I've seen all these things. Listen, what God has given you, the sheep. You see, David was given some few sheep. When they were sending him to the field, and his brothers asked him, where are those few sheep? Where are those few sheep? So he gave them to a keeper before he went out. He valued his work as a shepherd. He fought with bears. He fought with lions over those few people. That's what made him a great shepherd. That's why he used to sing that song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. God will take care of me. God will look after me. God will be in charge of my life. But we don't care. Some of you, you really want to leave trauma. Some of you, if you get the chance, you will leave just now. You will run away to Lusaka, to here. You will never come here again. Is it true or it's not true? Yeah. But you must value. You see, when you don't value, if you are not faithful with little, you will not be faithful when a big thing is put in your hand. Faithful. When a small job is given to you, you are not faithful with it. So I'm grateful to God for giving me Choma. And that's why I'm here this morning. Tonight we are in another town, Monze. Yeah, but I'm here preaching this morning. Before I finish, then I'm traveling to, is it Monze? Yes, before I go to Monze. 100 kilometers to go and continue. Tomorrow morning, I'm doing the pastor's conference. Why? I'm not getting any money for it. I'm happy to, if God has given me some people, talk to them, look after them, share something, give them books, do whatever. It is my blessing. It's my blessing. So I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you to like your sheep. If you don't like what God has given you, you see, the people in themselves feel that when you see them, say, you, I wouldn't have been here. It's because of something that I'm here. You, in your heart, you reject them. So the art of shepherding, what it means to become a shepherd, and the art of shepherding is a pillar of the ministry. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, from verse 1, all the way, he explained, I know my sheep know me. They know my voice. I look after them. I care for them. I do this. I search for them. They look for me. I know them by name. I call them out. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that my sheep will have life and have it more abundantly. So learn it and don't reject the few sheep. One of my pastors, he told me a vision that he had. And after that vision, his church began to grow. He said, God appeared to him in the vision and touched his heart and told him and put in him a love for the people. Because he didn't love this, because that town, he was not from that town. He was from another part of Ghana. He didn't like the people. You see, you can love the people in a way. So he put in his heart a love for the people. You see, after that, the church began to grow. If you don't love the sheep, you cannot look after them well. Any work you are doing, Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. Love is what is pushing me. Nothing else but love. Hallelujah. Are you still around? Beautiful. How many pillars do you have now? 4 pillars. 5 pillars. Sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. This book is called Losing, Suffering, Sacrificing, and Dying. Everybody needs to learn about sacrificing for Jesus. Listen, there is no Christianity without sacrifice. In fact, there is no religion without sacrifice. Our brothers in the other religion, they even believe in dying themselves. You know, whilst Christians, you know, we don't believe in dying. We don't want to die. We want to live. But which religion has a leader where the leader went intentionally to go and die? Which religion? I can't hear you. Which religion has a leader who went intentionally to die? Christianity, not any other religion. And when you intentionally go somewhere to die, what is it called? What is it called? You don't want to say the English word. It's suicide. Yes. Now, doctor, can you read that verse? The preaching of the cross is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Beautiful. The preaching of what? The preaching of prosperity. The preaching of success. The preaching of a good life. The preaching of the cross is the is foolishness to some people. And who are the people to whom it is foolishness? Those who are perishing. It's nonsense. When you say somebody sacrifice your life, give up this, you must die for Jesus, it's nonsense to most people, to those who are perishing. But to who? To us who are saved, the preaching of the cross is what? Power. You see, power will come into your life when you take this element back. And when you take this element out of the church, you take away power. So preaching of prosperity has taken away power because preaching of prosperity has driven away the idea of sacrifice. So it has taken away power. A certain power. And without this power, we are not able to do much. The essential element is gone. The church is there, but it's powerless. So today, the church has got more money than it used to have before. But it's more powerless. Other religions are rather spreading. Christianity is no more the fastest growing religion. Another religion has taken over. Because the essential element that brings power is taken out of the church. The cross. So this book, you see, I wrote it, I want it to be very clear. Losing, Jesus said, if you lose your life, you will gain. Suffering. Philippians 1, I think 27 says that we are called not only to believe, but we are called to suffer. Sacrifice. Take up your cross and follow me. We must be a living sacrifice. Romans 12. Dying. If anyone loses his life for my sake, he will gain it. And when you take your cross, where are you going? You are going to die. You are going to suffer. A lot of ministers in my who have as much financial strength as I have will not like to stay at the most of the places where I will even stay when I'm doing crusade. Sometimes when we have crusaders, there's the water, brown water with worms in it. We use it, we bath. We bath with it. Yes. There are so many places you say, why not? Why not? It's nothing. After you finish bathing with that brown one, you will soon see a clear one to bath again later. After some days, you will get a water to bath. What's the problem? Listen, we are lost and we have taken away the essential ingredient. You know, I said, I know somebody, he had a lot of girlfriends and he was sleeping with so many girls. So one day he got married and he felt he was very powerful because he has been conquering so many girls. Hey! Are you listening? I said he was a conqueror. Going from woman to woman, girl to girl, house to house. But finally, he decided to settle down and marry one. So when he married, after 1 year, well, he felt very powerful. After 1 year, his wife was not getting pregnant. So after 2 years, his wife was still not getting pregnant. Hey. So then he said, you know, I have to check. So they went to the doctor and they went to check. When they checked the sperms, you see, it was 0.0. But he couldn't believe it. Because when he has sex, something comes out. A lot of juices, waters, and other things come out. Do you understand? And he has been going around from place to place, discharging these waters everywhere. But, listen, I'm telling you something. Are you listening to me? What it is that you see, when you ejaculate, there are so many things that come. Vitamin C, fructose, so many fluids that are in it come out. But there is an essential element, the actual sperm. If it is not, you will not see. If you take that one out, it is like water. You can ejaculate even one bottle of whatever. But you need a particular thing that has the life and the power. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. And that is what was missing. And so he was not able to give a child of fruit. So in the church, we have many, many things. But because we've taken out this particular thing, the cross of Jesus Christ, a certain power has gone out of the church. Yes. That is no more making the church to be as powerful as it used to be. How we could be even now. Look, there, you see, and you would have thought that it's money that makes the church powerful. But go to America and see. The people that are in churches today, many millionaires. People give $1 million all the time. People give offering $1 million. All the time. That's why in America you have pastors who don't have churches and they have big ministries even on television. They have, you just see some 6 millionaires, they just give them. There is money but no power. Other religions are taking over. Because you have thrown away the idea of sacrificing. A certain pastor, he came and he began to prophesy. He started prophesying, Shadira Kabashubara, you are going to be my missionary in New York City. And the brother got up and said, I receive it. Then he pointed to another brother and said, Shira Kabashudalaba, you are going to be my missionary in Paris, France. The brother lifted and said, Shabaya, Loba Sabara. Then he pointed to another sister and said, you are going to be my missionary in London. And the man lifted and said, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Then he pointed to another brother and said, you are going to be my missionary in Togo. And the brother said, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Satan, I reject you. I curse you. I refuse. I block it. He said, I block it in Jesus' name. I block it. God forbid. Why do you say God forbid? Because it's not New York. Because it's not Paris. Because it's not London. Because there's no money there. Because it's Togo. Because what is in Togo? Is it not human beings? Is it not souls? Are they not people who Jesus died for? You don't want souls. So you see, because we have taken away something from the church and we have become nothing. And our power is finished. And other religions, you would have thought that after all these suicide bombings and killings and terrorism, people would say, we don't want that religion. No, it is rather made them bigger and stronger because sacrifice always brings power. When you take away sacrifice, if you preach this in your church, power will come to your church. Oh yeah, people don't preach it, they're only preaching money. This is why the church is useless. Useless. You see the congregation, we can't, no power to give, no power to sacrifice, no power to stop sinning, nothing. Powerless. Sacrifice-less, cross-less means powerless. And finally, last pillar, loyalty. Faithfulness. What is the importance of loyalty? Loyalty is 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Let's read it. It says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful means loyal. Now, people cannot be faithful because it is in human beings to be unfaithful. We are naturally unfaithful. So if you don't teach it, people will degenerate into these seven problems that you see over there. Number one, they will be accusers. They will accuse you. If you are not serious, you will find people will degenerate and accuse you. So I wrote a book for each of them. It is required. People will be disloyal. This is loyalty and disloyalty. They will accuse you. How many pastors have been accused before? You were surprised. You couldn't believe what they were saying about you. You said, me? What? How? So you need to teach. You will have dangerous sons. Some of you even are dangerous sons here. Somebody gave birth to you in the ministry. You are a wicked son. You are an Absalom. Absalom is the person who attacks his own father. When you attack the one who helped you to be who you are, your name is not John, your name is Absalom. I am renaming you as Absalom. If you can attack your father, if Bishop Imakando sends you to this town and you turn against him and you attack him, you are Absalom. If you don't teach people, people are ignorant. And when people are ignorant, they fight you. You know, in Africa, our ignorance made us think that we can do certain things when we were not ready. Ghana was the first. You know, we are the oldest. Ghana is the oldest independent country. Yes. And our leader, Kwame Nkrumah, said, we have a right to manage or mismanage our affairs. And we took it. We took our right. And we mismanaged our affairs. We were recently declared one of the highly indebted and poor nations of the whole world. Amazing. Yeah. A few years ago. I don't know if we are still in that group or we are out of that club. But we are not in the upper club. We are in the lowest club. Because you think you know. So we give us our land, our farms. We can farm. Give it to us. Let us do what we have our right to do. Go and look at it. Farms. It has become a bush. Because you see, it's not as simple. When you see me preaching, you criticize. You criticize me for preaching. You criticize my crusade. You criticize my miracles. You criticize the power of God. Come and do it and see. You see that it's not as simple as all that. Where is your convoy? Why don't you take your convoy to just to Zimbabwe? I say, why don't you take your convoy to just to Zimbabwe and go and preach there? I have come all the way from Ghana and you criticize me. It's because of your ignorance. If you don't teach about loyalty, people will forget. And I wrote a book for them, Those Who Forget. Those Who Forget. When Ham came out of Noah's ark, Noah saved his children. Only three of them. He saved them, put them in special executive room, self-contained bathroom and toilet. He put them in a Noah's ark. They were there for so many weeks. They had their own food, self-contained with their wives, everything. They were protected from the waters. When they came out, Ham rose up. He forgot. And went and called photographers to come and take pictures of his father. To criticize him. After his father, he forgot that if his father had not built an ark, he would not be criticizing. Those of you who criticize the fathers of Zambia, and the fathers of the nation, and the fathers of the churches. You've forgotten how how you came to be where you are. Those who forget. So you need to teach them. Those who leave you. People who leave churches are the greatest destroyers of churches. Hey! You see the church is growing, then tomorrow half are gone. The pastor has moved to another side and he's taking half of the members. It's a curse. I said it's a curse. Yeah, and you will never prosper. I know one pastor, that's what he did. He had 3,000 members. The senior pastor traveled for 6 weeks. When he came back, the pastor said he's resigned. When he resigned, the pastor said, why are you resigning? He said, no, I'm leaving. So, but I've just come. He said, no, I want to resign now. When he left, all the 3,000 members left. He was left with 18 people. He had spoken to them for the 6 weeks that the pastor traveled. He told them, I don't know what he told them. The pastor was telling me himself. It's not a story. The pastor is sitting here, I'm here. He's telling me what happened. He was left with 18 people, including his wife and children. 3 months later, this man who took all his members became sick. He was admitted in the hospital. Yeah. He went into a coma. He died. He never woke up. And the church never came back to him. They were scattered. You see, people say that they are living. The spirit has spoken to me. Your spirit, your stomach has spoken to you. Not your spirit has spoken. Your stomach. Your stomach spoke to you. And then you say, you are living. Yeah. They are very dangerous people. The prodigal son, when he left, it was all because of money. He wanted to get hold of the father's money and use it. So he told his father that, I am going. That's it. If there is something, release it now. I tell you, the father was forced to give him. Yeah. It was all about money. And when he went, he didn't know how to use it. Those who are ignorant. And he lost everything. And when he began to be in want, he came and said, even the servants in my father's house are better off. And he came back. So this whole book is based on those who leave you. If you like, don't read it. You see that people will leave you as well. When you teach it, people will be afraid to do what is wrong. Yes. People will be afraid to do what is wrong. Because they will realize that they are bringing upon themselves a curse. And it's out of ignorance. Then those who pretend. Judas's. Have you seen Judas before? It's not common, but they exist. Judas. Judas is the one who turns against you totally. He's with you, then he turns against you. He's with you, then he turns against you. Judas is somebody, you can give him money, he will change. Now, if somebody can give you money to move you from your church, you are not a correct pastor. You know, one day, we went somewhere, Kenneth Yongicho. We went to a certain church in a certain country whose name begins with S. In Africa. And when they went there, the board members were also part of the program, and Yongicho was preaching. When he finished preaching, one of the board members, who comes from a country whose name begins with N, went and spoke to the assistant pastor and asked him that, you know, like how this church is hosting us. Like, I believe, are you the pastor? Yes. So like, it's like after somebody talked to your assistant and told him, how much is he paying you? And the pastor told him, they are paying me 300. said, 300. I'll give you 3,000. And the pastor assistant left the church and followed. And the pastor who was the host, he was not happy at all. Because it has bought his church. Yeah. So, if they can make you leave, and when he followed the guy too also became broke. So it all became nothing. But he lost his position. He lost his position. So the point that I'm making to you, my dear friends, is that if somebody can talk to you because of money, you are cheap and you are not worthy of ministry. Because of 3,000 kwacha, you are ready to give up your ministry, your position in ministry, your relationship with Jesus Christ, with other pastors, Thomas, Peter, James, John, you will not see them again. You are not part of the fellowship because of 3,000 kwacha or $3,000 or whatever. You are cheap and you are Judas. So, you must learn to fight disloyalty in every way. Every way. And all these are pillars of ministry. Let me give you another pillar before I close, and that is lay people. Lycos. People who work for God without pay. You must learn how to work for Jesus without collecting money. It's a joy to do something for God. It's a way of saying thank you. How can I say thanks? How can I say thanks for all the things that you've done for me? God has been so good to you. He has saved you with his power. He has raised you. You must be able to say thank you. So like us, is lay people saying thank you. So I will play the piano without money being paid. I will be an usher without being paid. I'll sing in the choir without being given money. I will help in the church. I'll even be a pastor without being paid. I'll do all that I can do because I'm trying to say thank you to Jesus. It's one of the pillars of the ministry. Every ministry with lay people can grow big. If everybody has to be paid, your ministry will be small. Amen. How can I say thanks?
How can I say thanks for the things that you have done for me? Things so undeserved. Yet you gave to prove your love for me. And the voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I have and ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he saved me with his power. He has raised me. To God be the glory for the
Hallelujah. Amen.
So loyalty is very, very important. And the stages of this loyalty, you know, are very clear in our book here. You know, independent spirits, where you are independent when they talk to you, you have your own mind. Offenses, people are offended in their ministry. Maybe I've even preached and you are hurt. It's a stage of disloyalty. Murmuring, criticism is a stage of disloyalty. You find out that, you know, you are talking about undertones. You know, and the pastor is there and you are having meetings. You know, one lady, she used to preach, sit in the church. When the pastor preached, she would tell her, this one is from Derek Prince. She would tell the person, this message is from this book. This one is from Derek Prince. This one is from this. This message is preaching it from here. You know, criticizing all the time. You know, I used to have somebody who criticized me every Sunday. I became so afraid in my church. Every Saturday before church, I used to get diarrhea because of Sunday was coming. And when I go, I see him sitting there. Hey, I was afraid of preaching. If I come to church and I don't have my notes, I have to rush back. Because without my notes, I will be confused. When I see their faces, I'll just become confused. Criticizing. And then politics. When they form groups in the church, and they are now forming three groups. This group, these people and these people and these people. They are talking, these people and these people and these people. That is how they make you live. And that's what Absalom did. Absalom met with the people. Bible says he sat at the gate of Jerusalem. And when people were coming, he asked them, are you okay in the church? Is everything okay? You see, our pastor has traveled again, David. And he criticized his father at the gate for months and years. And the Bible says he won the hearts of Israel. People followed him. So anybody who is drawing you after himself and diverting your attention from the main leader is an Absalom. So if you have an assistant pastor who says, I am also a man of God, you are nothing. If you are assisting, you are an assistant. You are just a beard. You are not the head. And when we shape you, we will still look even nicer without you. Yes. Yes. You know, God gave me a scripture, Proverbs 22. I was having people criticizing me all the time. And God spoke to me clearly in a scripture. And I want to read that scripture as we come to the end. It says what? Cast out the scorner. Contention shall go. It didn't say counsel the scorner. It didn't say advise him. It didn't say call for a meeting. It said cast him out. And contention shall go out. Yay. Strife and reproach shall cease. So one day I called my assistant. I said, out. Go out from today. Because every day you are criticizing me. You say, I can't preach. You say, I'm not anointed. You say, God hasn't called me. I was every day afraid. Is it right to be in a church you are afraid? So I cast out the scorner. And I told him, from today, out. And he went out. When he went out, all the confusion ended in my ministry up till today. Up till today. And God gave me another assistant. And he has been with me. I dedicated this book to him. He has been with me since then. All these years. So, politics. Watch out for politicians in your church. Those who are forming groups. lonely people from Lusaka Fellowship in Choma. Zimbabweans Fellowship of Zambia inside your church. Lonely Nigerians in your church. Hey! One day I met somebody in my church. He said he's forming a new group. I said, what group? He said it's called David's Club. I said, what is David's Club? I was not surprised sometime when he left the church trying to form a club. Watch out for politicians. David's Club. I said, what is David's Club? And then after political stage, we have deception, where people are deceived. You think the man of God is not. When you see a pastor like this, he's an older pastor, you think he's weak. You must rather fear them when they are old. That is when they are powerful. Yes, because I tell you, Isaac was blind though when he blessed Jacob. He was blind, and even they thought they had deceived him, and he blessed. That is the blessing that is working on Israel up to today. So when a person is old, he doesn't have physical power, so all his powers congregate inside his mouth. So when he speaks a word like this, hey, that's it. You must fear older people whose powers are limited to their mouth. The power has concentrated and crystallized in the mouth. When the person says, you will be tired. That is it. I know a woman, she told her daughter. Her daughter was at the university making herself with high heels. She told her daughter, you will sell beans. Do you have beans in Zambia? Beans. She told her daughter, you will sell beans. I tell you, the daughter went to university, did master's degree, everything, and after everything, came back to sit in front of the house to sell the beans. She's selling beans today. After university, she's not working at any bank or any airline, Zambia Airlines or anything. She is selling beans. You will sell beans. You will sell beans. And then the next and final stage is open rebellion and execution. Well, how does a rebel end? How do all disloyal people, what is their end? How did Lucifer end? Cast out. How did Judas end? Hung. How did Ahithophel end? He was hung. How did Joab, who tried to become the king instead of Solomon, how did he end? He was executed. How did Absalom end? He was hung. Anybody who is disloyal, all of them are in this book. They have the same end. So don't join any of such groups and don't become such a person in your life. It has the same end for everybody. Sometimes when people are doing something to me, I say, you are in the Bible. And your end will be as the Bible has been prescribed. Yes. You are in the Bible. And your end will be as it's described in the Bible. It may seem as if you are doing something to me now, but your end will be as it is described in the Bible. Yeah. So, I don't want anybody to be disloyal, because when you are disloyal, you can't prosper. You know, I saw a certain pastor say, he couldn't prosper, yeah, you can't. The seed you have sown is a seed of desolation, a seed of poverty, a seed of difficulty, because you destroyed somebody's life and ministry. And you want to have a life and ministry when you have spoiled somebody's life and ministry. When you take somebody's husband, a family is there. Here's the husband, here's the wife, here are the children. You come in and you take the husband, scatter the children, spoil the family. Do you think you are going to have a very peaceful, happy family, living happily ever? It's not like that. It's not like that. Even Princess Diana, I don't know, but I hear that the Prince Charles was originally after the sister. Is that the case? Yeah, he was after the sister. Then the young one came and said, I'm here. It was not easy for her. Not easy for her. So learn loyalty. And all these books are going to be available beautifully after we close. Stand to your feet, everyone. How many are blessed in this pastor's conference? Father, thank you for blessing us in a powerful way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Sit down for a moment. After we close, we have these books here, Doctor, are going to be available. How much is it being sold for? 500 kwacha. Now, for 40 books, one book is less than a dollar, just about a dollar. All right? So it's very, very affordable. And we don't have enough to go around the whole of Zambia because we are going to 12 cities. But I will encourage you to get, if you cannot, if you don't have, you want to buy on credit, that is, I'm going to give you that grace also. Those who want to buy on credit. Yes. I will also, no, just for here. Because it's a special town to me. Amen. So if you don't have, I'll give you credit also on the Macarius. But make sure you get it, because if you don't get it, you will regret. All the different things I'm preaching about, they are all books. If I start to take one and I start to go to, we will not live here this year. We will be here till next year. Isn't it true? So make sure. As for me, I love books because it's through a book I got to know Kenneth Hagin. And when I got to know Kenneth Hagin, that day I began to now listen to his preaching. Because when you know somebody's book, you start usually to listen to their preaching as well. And when I started to listen to their preaching, then God anointed me in 1988. And here I am today preaching. Look at me, evangelist, going here. I have so many churches. I don't need to work again till I die. All my churches are more than enough for the rest of my life. Each church will take 1 month to pay me my salary. They will even be quarreling who is to pay for this month. It's true. You can go and see. They are all there. The churches. So God has given me more than I need through the ministry. And I want you to also have. All my books are how you can do the ministry. You can do the ministry. It's not about somebody, but you can do great things for the Lord. So that is why we are making this available. This book, this box costs $400, which is what? 4,000 kwacha. 4,000. That's the actual price. But we are making it available for just 500 for all of you. That is a blessing. All right. Let's welcome Dr.
Clap your hands. What a conference of a lifetime. Keep clapping your hands. Let's appreciate evangelists for this time. It is a conference that will turn around your ministry. Keep clapping your hands. Evangelists, we are very grateful that you spent this morning with us to minister the word of God to us, to guide us. Is it a blessing? Is it a blessing? But I will tell you that the conference Evangelist Dagwood Mills has not ended. Yes. This is just a 5-minute break. It is going to continue with this book. How many of you would like the evangelist to continue teaching you this afternoon, tomorrow, next week? Next month, next year, you want him to have some secrets to share with you, how to build a church, how to have a church with 1,000 members, how to have 3 branches, how to have 4 branches, how to have even 10 branches here in Choma of your church. Your church is in a corner, but in this city here, you have 10 different satellite branches. How many of you want to have those keys? It's all here. So, I don't know what will let you pass by this opportunity. As I said, this meeting we are having here today is an act of God's mercy. There are many ways mercy is expressed. It's not only murderers, thief, makers who have shown mercy, sometimes you and I, who are pastors, can be shown mercy. That is, your ministry that was about to finish